episode of Pit Lane Parlay.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. My name is host Mike Jokum. Matt and Jess are joining me on this episode where we will spend a majority kind of recapping the first half of the year and touch briefly on Road America. So, guys, how we doing tonight?
Good.
Not too bad.
All right. So the first half of the year has been good. So we will dive right into it. We're gonna go by driver instead of team, like some of the other media outlets have done, and dive deep here. So Matt, you're up first with points leader Joseph Newgarden.
Yeah, so all we're going to do is just give him a letter grade. One of us is going to take you kind of through the driver's ups and downs in the season, or if like you're just Newgarden, mostly the ups. And once that person's done, then the other two will throw in their grade for them as well. So we're just going on the standard grade school grade kind of system here. So for Joseph Newgarden, pretty easy for me. I gave him an A. He's been doing super good so far this season. He's won three races, been consistently fast everywhere we've gone. The best race so far, in my opinion, for him was at Detroit 1, the first race there. He held off Alexander Rossi in a hard charge in the rain, did really good there. Solid effort at Indianapolis, which is always good for that double points, finished P4. Only thing that kind of stands out to me was a critical mistake in Detroit 2, fighting with Rossi, and Hinch spun it out, overcooked it, took Hinch with him. Rossi managed to keep going. But other than that, yeah, very good season so far. Very impressed with him. And what is it, year three with Penske now? Hard to say that he's a shoe-in for the title because there's still a long season left, but definitely the front runner at the moment. So I would give him a solid A so far this year.
Yeah. I think I'm going to give him just a touch lower if we're going to go real particular in the grades here and go with an A minus, just because of that Detroit mistake. And he owes Tim Cindric many cases of beer or whatever for two real great strategy wins. But all in all, a good first half of the year for him.
Yeah, I can't argue. I would say an A also. And I did go particular with my grades for my drivers. So I think an A is fair. I mean, he's had a really good season. He's doing pretty good. I mean, obviously, you know, like if we're grading school grade wise, he's missed a couple points on the test. But overall, he's doing really well. All right. Up next, we have Alexander Rossi. He is currently sitting P2. I'm going to give him an A also. He's had one win and two poles this year. He's been very good, keeping it clean. He was my pick for the champion at the beginning of the year or whenever we did that way, way back in the off season. And frankly, I feel like he's doing what he needs to do to get it done.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. If anybody's going to be at the same level grade-wise as Newgarden, I think it's got to be Rossi. Kind of not really looking at my grades for the rest of everybody so far. But yeah, he's been brilliant. Seems like he might be the only guy that can contend with Newgarden. So I also gave Rossi an A.
Yeah, I'll jump on the train here and also give Rossi an A. Definitely been one of the best drivers all year. And then I will jump right in with Simon Pagenaud, our Indy 500 winner, month of May sweep. I gave him A-. I think he's had a really good year and really kind of silenced the doubters. Kind of started off the year a little slow, but really since May has come on, he's been outstanding.
I'm going to give him a B. I got to disagree a little bit because of how slow his season started. I don't think he's quite there to get the A, but he's working his way up for sure.
B plus for me. Only reason it's not a little lower is because of how good his May was, but he, outside of the month of May, hasn't done all that amazing, so that's why it's just a B plus for me. With that, going to Scott Dixon. Scott Dixon, like I said a couple episodes ago, or maybe it was just last episode, has had a very consistent year, but has just had a couple of errors that are kind of strange, and so the reason for those reasons, actually, I'll give him a B plus. I don't know if that's a little harsh, but just that big uncharacteristic error at Detroit, lackluster Coda in Indianapolis 500, and now he's almost 100 points behind the championship. So it's not over for him per se, but it's just not the clinical Dixon that I'm used to seeing. So I'll give him a B plus.
I'm going to give him a B. I got to say again, his season hasn't started quite the way we wanted it to go. I've just been kind of, you know, blah with Scott this year.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with the B. It's been a solid but unspectacular year for Dixon so far.
All right, rolling on. We have Takuma Sato next, and I'm gonna give you guys a little bit of a shocker here. I'm giving him an A. He's done very well with his season so far. He's got one win and two poles, just like Rossi does. I think he's been kind of quietly good in some races, but just downright real good at some others. So I've been very impressed with him this season.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a B plus. This has definitely been the most consistent he's been all year, or I'm sorry, all career, at least his IndyCar career. So B plus.
I thought I was going to be the harsh grader, but I'm actually on like the same page as Jeff so far here. I'm also going to give him an A. I'll stick with an A. I'm trying to think if Texas ruined that at all, but no, I'd still give him an A. It's been really consistent. It's really refreshing to see him have such a good year so far.
Did you guys know a little fact about our next driver here in Will Power, that in Will Power's career, the only time he's gone longer than 9 races to start a season without a win was 2013. Little trivia fact / stump the host there. So I'm going to give Will Power a B minus. And I think some of the issue hasn't really been his fault. Obviously, you know, the crew messing up the tire in the first race in Detroit and, you know, bad luck in Coda, but hasn't qualified particularly well the last 2 or 3 races. I think he's been outside the top 10 since both Detroit races and Texas. So not really the best start for Will Power so far.
Definitely not shining Will Power. So I'm going to actually be, I can't remember. What did you say?
B minus.
B minus. I was going to say, did you say B minus? I can't remember.
You almost forgot.
I'm going to actually be a little bit harsher. I'm going to say C. I just feel like compared to the normal Will Power that we usually are seeing around this time, I have been semi-disappointed. He's getting by, but he's definitely not at the top of the class.
Gosh, you guys are harsh. This is the one that took me the longest, to be honest. Don't yell at me, but I actually ended up at an A minus, and it's kind of with the reasoning that Mike was using with some of the stuff that's just been out of his control. Hasn't had a win, obviously, and a couple other things like Texas. I don't know what happened there, but the things like Circuit of the Americas dominating, then mechanical failure, Indianapolis, a pit mistake, which was his fault, but he did rebound to 5th place, which is pretty excellent. So yeah, he's just lacking the win, and his championship standing is not the best, but I still think he's been really fast this year. So that's why I went with the A minus. Moving on, Ryan Hunter-Reay. This was another one that's kind of perplexing to me because he's been consistently fast. I believe he's got a couple podiums on the year so far. He's been consistently slower than Rossi, but definitely better than Andretti and Veach, his teammates. Hasn't had that standout race, and because of that, I went with a B minus. Again, it's just consistent, decently fast at pretty much everywhere, but there's just, you know, he's not really making a championship run at the moment, and I don't think he's going to be a contender for the championship unless something drastic happens. So because of that, because of the sheer lack of pace he has compared to Rossi, I ended up with a B minus.
I'm gonna jump in here and say, yeah, I think I'm also going to agree with the B minus. You know, he has top 10 finishes in all but 2 races, but nothing really that stands out at all.
I'm going to go just slightly better with a B because he's been consistent and because he is doing so much better than some of his teammates. I'm going to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt here, but not anything crazy like an A. You know, it's kind of we've seen some guys kind of having blah seasons, in my opinion. Next is going to be Graham Reha. He is currently eighth, and I'm giving him, I'm being a little bit harsh on him, B minus. He's been pretty quiet this year, but he has been very consistent. So that's why he's still in the B's. So he's decent, but he's got to get a little bit better, get a little bit closer to Sato, to get a better grade from me.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. I ended up with him. I ended up at a B plus. Again, yeah, Sato had the A in my book, so a couple grades lower than Sato is a little fair. I think kind of like Hunter Ray is just kind of lacking the big power move or the big win or anything like that, but been very consistent so far this year.
Yeah, I think I'm going to jump on the B train here. He's qualified much better for the most part this year, with the exception of the second Detroit race. So that's probably why he's, you know, eighth in the standings right now versus, you know, kind of in that 13, 14 range where I think he was at this point last year. So yeah, solid B for Graham. Moving on to right now, our number one in rookie of the year, running Santino Ferrucci, coming in P9 in the standings right now. I'm going to give him an A minus. I think he's been outstanding. He's definitely exceeded expectations almost every week. As we mentioned, I think last week, he's completed all but two laps on the season so far, and that was only because he was two laps down at Long Beach. So, you know, great first half of the season for Santino, and look forward to see what he can do the second half of the year.
Actually, that's exactly what I'd give him too. I mean, he's, for a rookie, he's been excellent. He's showed, you know, that he's not afraid to mix it up with the bigger names, I guess, so to say. And I think he's just done really, really well. So yeah, I'd give him an A minus too.
Going a little harsher than you guys, I went with a B. The only reason I went with B is that there's been a couple of races where he's kind of just been there, but he hasn't excelled in any way, which is totally fine for being a rookie. But overall, I think his pace in the year has been pretty good, but I'd like to see where he ends up in year two if he's back with Dale Coyne, to see if there's a step. So right now, I'll give him a B on the year.
I wish I had a boo.
Right now. B for boo. That was a classic dad joke.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I haven't done one of those in a while, so just marvel in it for a second, would you?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We'll just leave it at that. Moving on to his teammate, who's actually next in the championship, is Sebastian Bourdais at Dale Coyne Racing. Was pretty harsh on Bourdais, if I'm being honest. I gave him a C+. He's had a couple okay races. One kind of downer moment was the engine failure he had at St. Petersburg, which has been his best track over the last couple of years. So that really kind of started off the year on a sour note. And then the other two things I wrote was that the crash at Indianapolis really impacted his championship standings and or pretty much eliminated his championship hopes, whatever there was left of them, despite having a really good race there. But finishing 30th instead of 5th is going to really damage your points. And then finally is that fact that we just touched on with Ferrucci. Ferrucci's been fast at a lot of tracks, and that second coin car has not been historically the best. And so the fact that Ferrucci's consistently competing with Bourdais is a pretty troubling sign, given that he's a rookie. So to me, Bourdais not having his best year, and that's why I gave him a C+.
I'm going to go just a tiny bit better. I'm going to give him a B-. And the one, like, saving grace thing was that incredible qualifying at the 500. Yeah, it didn't pay off in the end, but I know that he has struggled with Indy mentally after his accident there. And so seeing him be able to kind of, for lack of a better phrase, tame the beast a little bit, I thought it was really impressive.
That's fair. I'm going to agree with Matt here and go with a C+. Hasn't been the best year. Hasn't been a bad year by any stretch, but just hasn't done any, you know, outside of the qualifying in Indy, I don't think he's been, done anything, you know, amazingly impressive.
All right, guys. Next up, we have got Hinchcliffe. I am I was kind of on the fence with him. I didn't really know exactly where to put him. I ended up giving him a C. It's not all him. He's had some really bad luck this year, so that's why I didn't go more harsh, but I just have not been super impressed with anything that he's done this year. So hopefully he kind of, bounces back after this little off period and can come out and shine again.
I want to be the first one of the night to hand out a D. So I'm going to go ahead and jump in here. You know what they say in college is D's get degrees, or sometimes they say C's get degrees, but I think the college I went to is D's get degrees, which says something about the college I went to, but that's okay. I'm going to give him a D plus. And again, I'm just kind of been disappointed with what I've seen out of him so far this year. The only podium on the team so far this year has come from Erickson. There's been a couple of races where Hinch has contended, but not been able to kind of pull through the result. I don't know, and especially on the back of last year where Wickens was consistently faster than Hinch everywhere. It's just been another one of those years where it's just kind of meh. So I was expecting more from Hinch, and so that's why I ended up at a D+, which might be a little harsh, but it's kind of what I came up with.
I'm going to split the middle and go with a C-. I think his Indianapolis performance going from 32nd to 11th kind of saved him from being in the D range, which is also where I would put Matt's second attempt at a dad joke. In the
D's get degrees. That's not a bad joke. That's just a fact of life.
Similar to Jess, I did struggle with Rosenquist's rating here because he hasn't had a bad year. You know, he had a pole position early on, and in the Indy GP, he had a podium. He said 2 fourth place finishes, but kind of struggled the last month, so I'm gonna go with a C+.
Not bad. I probably, you know what, yeah, I'd probably go right with a C+ too. I was trying to decide if I wanted to give him a C+ or just a C straight, but I think a C+. I mean, I think he's learning a lot. He obviously hadn't been on an oval before, so he's had to kind of step it up, so I think he's doing pretty good.
Yeah, very fair. I think I ended up at a B-. He started after the first couple of races. He was at like an A. So he's definitely regressed a little bit as the year's gone on. But yeah, it's not unnatural for a rookie to kind of be in this mid-range. So B-, he's shown pace pretty much almost everywhere. Not everywhere, but almost everywhere. And he's done pretty well for himself. A couple of the crashes we could do without. But overall, yeah, I think there's no panic button quite yet on Rosenquist. B-, he's done just fine so far to me.
That's fair. I'm going to jump in here before we continue down and go through some of the Patreon shout outs. Again, thank you to everybody that continues to subscribe every month. Thank you to Colin Taylor. Thank you, Darcy Bretz. Thank you, David Lighting. Congrats on getting married again. Our buddy George. Thank you, Jake Neely, Jason Camps, Carrie Chim, Lyndall McMurphy, and last for this week, Mark Van Niekerk. And thank you, everybody.
Moving on. Next one up here is Spencer Pigott. This one was pretty tough. I'm probably guaranteeing myself that I'm probably a little higher than you guys. So I'm going to go with a B-. The reason is because I don't think Ed Carpenter Racing is quite at the level that they need to be at to be competitive. And outside of Indy, they haven't really shown too much pace anywhere. They did pretty well at the Grand Prix, but Pigott has consistently been faster than Ed Jones. He's had a couple of things not go his way, a couple strategy calls at St. Pete, Long Beach, and the crash at the Detroit race 2 with Bourdais. Definitely not his fault there. I think he's still lacking kind of a breakthrough win or a breakthrough result, but I think he's definitely been better than his teammates this year, so that's kind of why I've been giving him the benefit of the doubt and gave him a B-.
It's funny, last year when we that Pigott wasn't having a good year, he went on finished second or third in Iowa. So I'm
just called it.
Yeah, I did actually. I did call that. I remember that.
I'm going to give him a C, and I don't think it's too much of a fault of his own. He's had some good qualifying efforts, and then has disappeared in races like Alabama, Indy 500. He'd kind of drop back a little bit, and I think the second Detroit race, he started in the top 10 and then kind of, that was the crash. I'm thinking about Texas where he started sixth and then finished, you know, 15th or so. Not a bad year, but just hasn't done anything to me that's really all that impressive yet.
I'm going to go with a C. I think that he, like you guys did say, it's not all him. However, I feel like last year he came out with a much better showing. And so I feel like maybe this year he is just not his year. But I also don't think he's horrible either. So I think he's solid mid-pack guy right now. I would love to see him do much better, don't get me wrong. But right now I got to go with a C. And that brings us, guys, to number 14 in the rankings right now. Mr. Number 98 for this season, Marco Andretti. And before I give my grade out, I just want to say I feel like his heart is not in it at all this year. I don't know if it's because he's an owner and he's worried about the money side of things now or whatever, but I feel like all he's doing is riding around in the back and then blaming everybody but himself. You know, blame the car, blame the other drivers, blame the weather, blame whatever, blame the front wing that got 87 turns. It's just not his fault, guys. But I'm going to give him a D minus. I don't think he's quite failing yet, but he sure as heck isn't doing very good.
Yeah, man. Marco, if you take one more turn of front wing on an oval, I'm going to lose a lot of bets. Like Jess said, I think it was about 87 in Indianapolis. I'm going to give him a solid D. He's had the last two races, he's actually finished in the top 10 in both. And I think that's the only thing saving him from giving him an even lower grade. But despite finishing all but 8 laps this season, he hasn't shown too much competitiveness at all.
Yeah, I went with a D. And to kind of summarize his year, you know, at Texas, he kind of just survived, ran around, snuck into the top 10, avoided accidents and whatnot. And I think Brian Herta tweeted something like that was the best we got, or that was a solid effort we can build on for the rest of the season or something like that. It just made me want to, I'm trying to think of something to say. I just got nothing, but it made me want to throw my phone or something. It was just kind of sad to see that a top 10 at a race in which, you know, 5 people had something terrible go wrong, just to sneak in the top 10 was something they can build on for the rest of the year. And I just don't get that logic at all. I guess maybe just optimism, but yeah, I gave him a D. Not much more to say about that.
Next up would be fellow Swedish rookie. I feel like I'm getting all the rookies in my list here. Marcus Ericsson. I gave him a C+. I think he's shown a lot of promise, especially in the last month, but it took him a little while to kind of get everything figured out and get some pace in him. The first, you know, 4 or 5 races, he was just kind of hanging out there and figuring everything out. And not that's anything against him, but I think that's why I'm giving him a C+.
Yeah, I give him a C+ as well. I think he's been doing pretty well for himself. I think the biggest mark on him, though, is the fact that if you compare him to Hinch, he's not that far off. If anything, he's actually been doing a little bit more consistent work than Hinch. The biggest bummer there was Indianapolis running really well and crashing his way into the pits. So that was a bummer. But overall, yeah, I think he's done pretty good for himself.
I cannot disagree with you guys. I'm going to do the exact same. He's getting a C+ for me also. He's had a consistent year. He's had kind of the same thing as Felix. He's learning, obviously. He's got a ways to go, but I think he's doing really well, and he's taking it all in, and frankly, that's what your rookie year is about.
For sure. Moving on to the next rookie and next person in the rankings here is Colton Herta. Shameless plug. Conveniently enough, Mike and I actually asked him at Detroit what letter grade he would give himself, and prior to both races, he said he would give himself a B+ in the year. at which point I said he was being a little harsh on himself. Detroit wasn't that good for him. He was okay. And then we saw Texas. He was just brilliant at Texas. So I'm going to stick with what I told him, you know, when we interviewed him, that I'm going to give him an A-. As far as rookies go, he's been brilliant. He's just lacking a couple finishes. Indianapolis just kills, though. That mechanical failure so early in the race, double points, it really kind of negatively skews how well he's been doing. But overall, he's been fast everywhere, so definitely an A- for me.
Yeah, it's funny when you look at Colton's numbers. Thank you to racing-reference.info for this. His average starting position is 6.9, and his average finish is a 17.1. And obviously, you know, finishing 33rd in Indy kind of probably plummeted that a couple more spots than it is if you take out Indy. But I would also go, I'm going to go B+. I think he's been just outstanding all year. I love how aggressive he's driving, but I'm going to give him B+.
I agree, B+. He has made some moves that were questionable. And no, I'm not talking about with Scott Dixon. But I think that he's done really good. I mean, obviously, a lot of the things that have negatively impacted him this year haven't really been his fault, or it's just been poor luck. So I think he's a solid B+. But now that brings us to TK. TK is currently sitting 17th in the championship. And guys, would it really throw you off? Because I also have Mateus Lice. Can I do them together?
Well, I'm just looking here. You got Marco and Kanaan and Lace and Chilton. How'd you end up?
I know. You all hate me. but can I do?
Yeah, let's switch it up.
Yeah,
I mean, just the two of them. And I'm not going to do it as a team per se, but I'm giving them both the same grade, and it's mostly because of the team. I think we're not getting to see what either driver is capable of, in my opinion, because the team is just not where it needs to be right now, and it's unfortunate, but it's really hard to grade these two drivers on themselves when we're just not able to see what they're doing. So unfortunately, I had to give them both D's because this has just not been a good year for them. Accidents and just poor showings in general have not helped them, either one of them, in the standings at all.
Yeah, I mean, I get where you're coming from, but unfortunately, even if it is the team that's kind of causing it, I unfortunately gave them both Fs. That team is just a mess. And you know, we know what you can see out of Kanaan, but with poor Laced, you know, I really do hope that he gets a shot at a different team at some point, just so we can see what he actually has. His first race last year, we were so ready to see a breakout season from him because he qualified so well, and then the season was just so meh. So unfortunately, I get both Fs just because that team is such a mess right now. And hopefully they can think outside the box, like they said, and figure out the rest of their year and hopefully build on it.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the D- just to be kind of nice. They haven't really helped themselves outside of Lace's fourth place finish at the Indy Grand Prix. There's not too much to say there. So I'm just going to leave it at that. And spare them the pain. Next up, we're gonna do a combo here: Ed Carpenter and Ed Jones, since they're in the same car. Ed Carpenter, I'm going to give a B in his two races. You know, obviously had a solid Indy 500 and kind of a lackluster Texas race a couple weeks ago. Ed Jones, I've really struggled trying to figure out where to grade him because he stunk for the first month of the year, had a pretty good month of May, and kind of a lackluster Detroit. So I'm going with a C. I don't think his, you know, seats in general are anything in danger for the rest of the year, but I don't think he's, you know, really shown all that much outside of the Indy Grand Prix and the Indy 500.
Yeah, so Ed Carpenter, I'm going to go with a B minus. It just wasn't the showing at Indy that anybody really wanted to see. I mean, yeah, he did okay, but I think everybody's still waiting for that win, you know? And then, like you said, Texas was kind of meh. So I can't really give him too high of a grade there. And then Ed Jones, I'm probably going to go with a C minus, actually. I've just been underwhelmed by him this year. There's not a whole lot that you can say that I just, I don't know. I really wanted him to do super well, but he's just not done everything I wanted him to do, I guess.
I think I might have leaked my grades to Jess because we've been pretty on point tonight. She and I have been very similar because I gave Carpenter a B minus as well for kind of same logic. You know, did pretty well at Indy and then kind of laid an egg at Texas. So, yeah, it's just one of those things, I guess. B minus is about as best as I could give him. And then with Jones, I was a little harsher. I gave him a D. The only reason I gave him a D instead of a D minus was because he did pretty well at the Grand Prix. I had such high hopes for him at Indy after practicing qualifying, and then he just kind of faded in the race, which was disappointing. And then everywhere else, he's just been very average. So I went with a D on that one. Moving on, this one was tough. I got Zach Veach, who's next in the standings here. And you know, there's no way to sugarcoat it. It's just not been a good year for Zach. He's been not necessarily the slowest at Andretti, but he's definitely had the poorest results out of all four Andretti Autosport drivers. Hasn't had that breakthrough sophomore season that we were expecting. So at the end of the day, unfortunately, I gave him a D. I feel like he definitely is the second to last amongst full-time drivers in the championship. I think he's only above Matheus Laist out of every drivers who started every race. And he's had a couple promising moments, had a couple good races in Detroit. But then there's, you know, races like Texas where he think he's going to do well and then has a mistake. Some really poor qualifying showings this year that's not helped his race day at all. So unfortunately, yeah, I went with a D, and I hope he can turn it around and get up to a B by the end of the season.
Yeah, I went with the B+. His qualifying has been pretty brutal outside of both Detroit races. His results, you know, you finally think he's going to string a third one together in Texas and just, you know, kind of taps the wall there. Again, killer save, but that doesn't really matter when you're out of the race afterwards. So D+ for Mr. Veach.
Yeah, I'm gonna say D+ also. And that killer save probably saved him from being lower than that. I just think that he is missing something this year. I can't figure out what it is. I can't really call it poor luck either because it's just been odd. I don't know. I can't give him anything better than a D+.
Can't argue there. Jess, do you, since you did 2 and 1 there, would you like to continue or do you want me to go ahead?
I'll do the next one.
Go right ahead.
Okay, so my last driver that I've got is currently sitting in 23rd, and that would be Mr. Max Chilton. I am failing him. He's getting a big fat F from me. He's not really had anything at all to write home about. His season's been pretty atrocious. Obviously not making the field at Indy killed him in the points. And it's just been really disappointing. Really, really disappointing.
How did you describe it? You said big fat F.
A big fat F, yes.
Mike, we need to make that into a soundboard clip.
I got it.
Anytime something has a big fat F. I also, Jess, what letter grade did I give him?
I'm going to guess you gave him a big fat F.
I gave him a big fat F. Pretty much for the same reasons you said, just nothing at all to say like, yo, he did good here. I just, I mean, I would have no idea that this was the guy's, what, fourth season now in IndyCar. It's been brutal. So I'll just leave it at that. I gave him an F.
Yes, this is his fourth year in IndyCar. God. Yeah, I'm sorry, Max, but it's been a pretty dismal year. I'm going to agree with Jess and Matt here. And I'm just going to leave it at that and move on to my last driver in Jack Harvey. I kind of struggled with this one. I didn't really know where to grade him, but I gave him a C+. He had a great Indy Grand Prix, finishing on the podium. He's started to seem to put some good pace together overall. The results haven't really necessarily been there, outside of a couple P10 finishes, I think, early in the year, but definitely an improvement versus his season last year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know, man. That run at NDGP was like fantastic. So I don't know. I think I'm gonna give him like a C+, because I think he's doing much better and he's on the upswing and he is taking what he's learned previously and running with it. And I think he's actually, you know what? I'm gonna change it. B-. He's getting a B-.
See, I'm telling you, you totally have what I have on my side here. You totally saw it before the show, because I gave him a B- as well. And the only reason I didn't go a little higher was because I was a little disappointed in the Indianapolis 500 result. You know, they were kind of touting that they had a, Indy 500 chassis just for Indy this year, and that is going to help things. And it didn't really look like it helped things at all, unfortunately. But yeah, those road courses, they've definitely made some strides this year. So good on them. Podium was excellent at GP. So, really good for them. So B- and hoping for some more for the rest of the season, including Road America this weekend. Last, quote unquote, but not least, because we got another combo deal here with the Carlin guys of Paddle Award and Charlie Kimball. Gonna go Paddle first. I was a little lenient on Paddle, just because I think he's done super well at some tracks and even some solid performances, like both races at Detroit, where he had incidents happen, but he still managed to recover. And then B, if you take into account that he's been doing this in a Carlin car, which has been one of the slowest teams out there, other than Foyt, I ended up giving him a B-, just because I've liked what I've seen on the road courses. Obviously, the Indianapolis did not qualify was not good, but if take that away, I think his road courses have been doing well. And then Charlie Kimball, I actually ended up giving him a B- as well, just because to be the only Carlin car to qualify at Indy was excellent. Thought at St. Pete, he was doing really well until he had a mechanical issue. And then Texas, kind of an incomplete score just because he retired early with mechanical. But honestly, I've actually been impressed with both of them so far this year.
All right. So Kimball, I'm going to give him a better score than I probably would have ever imagined myself giving Charlie Kimball. But I'm going to say that he is going to get a B- from me, because he has done super well for him. Usually we're talking about him having incidents with other drivers or just the wall in general. And I was getting ready to say, unfortunately, that's not right. But fortunately, he has not had any of those. He's just unfortunately had mechanical problems or whatnot. So I'm gonna give him a better grade than I ever thought possible. And then Pato, poor Pato. I'm gonna have to say he's gonna get a B- also. I wanted so much more from him, and I know that he's in a Carlin car, but I just wanted more. So I'm gonna give him a B-. Not quite bad, but not great either.
So for Charlie Kimball, I think you guys are on the right path. I would definitely go with a B. His Indy performance, although he got caught up in the crash, first off, just to qualify when the team had a pretty rough month overall and qualify safely was impressive. So that alone earns him a decent grade. Now, Pato, he's had some moments, you know, Detroit race two, he started eighth, got sent a lap down in that first lap accident and, you know, ended up finishing 11th. I think I would give him a C+. I think he's shown a lot of promise, and I hope we can see him in IndyCar for a long time because I think it will only get better, but I'm going to leave it at a C+ for him. And I think that wraps up our driver review for the first half of the year. Please feel free to give your opinions on social media. And for the last bit of this episode, we'll talk about a track I'm excited to head to for the very first time in Road America. Guys, right now, there are, you know, realistically, not all guys in the top 10 in the championship standings are championship contenders right now. Where do you think that line going into the second half of the year kind of is the cutoff point of, okay, these guys realistically could win the championship, and these guys, they might finish close but aren't in the top 10?
Oh, that's so tough. Probably, if we're looking realistically, I'm going to say the champion is going to come out of the top six. I can't really see it going much further. I guess we can say seven because there's only 2 points that separate six and seven. So I'm going to say the top seven.
Yeah. Thank goodness you changed it to seven because I had six in my head. We've just been agreeing too much for my liking tonight. But yeah, six. I think the only reason I would go with the six is just because I think Power's definitely been better at Hunter Ray so far this year. So I'm not really high on Hunter Ray's hopes for the rest of the year. But I definitely think out of Power, Sato, Dixon, Pagano, Rossi, and Newgarden, it's going to come from one of those guys. And Power definitely doesn't have any room to slack. Sato and Dixon are on the fringe, and Pagano's kind of been out. Yeah, kind of outgunned everywhere else, so it might just come down to Newgarden and Rossi here. But yeah, definitely somebody in the top six at this point has really got a legitimate shot at the championship.
So I'm going to be harsher on this. I'm glad I'm not agreeing with you guys. In the grand scheme of things, I would say top five. I think that 20-point gap back to six is pretty tough. But, you know, like Matt alluded to, I think this is a three-horse battle. I think that 41 points that Dixon's back of Pagano could end up hurting him. Really look to that crash in Detroit as the downfall of Scott Dixon's hopes to repeat as champion. So yeah, I'd say top five. I think Sato could mount a comeback. I mean, listen, anything can happen if somebody makes a stupid mistake, and you know, we saw Newgarden make a bad mistake in Detroit. Dixon make a bad mistake in Detroit, and we'll see. So moving on to actually talking about Road America, two little pieces of news, IndyCar and Indy Lights. Aaron Tielitz is going back with Velarde Racing for his home race and has a pretty cool spotted cow beer type t-shirt that just came out today. And then Pato, who we've kind of tried to figure out how many races does he have left this year with the whole Red Bull thing. He is in the car this weekend with Carlin and Gallagher Insurance. So, you know, great to see that. I don't know if you guys have any opinion on either. Or are you surprised about Pato?
Not super surprised. I figured something would come together. I just don't know how, per se. Maybe it's Gallagher really stepping in, or what do we call him? Daddy Chilton. But, you know, I think it's definitely good, and hopefully he can flex his muscles this weekend and try to get through lap one clean without anybody hitting him. Tielitz, good that he got a home race, I guess, but I'm not expecting the world out of him this weekend.
Yeah, on Pato, I'm not really surprised. I think that they'll figure out a few races at least to have him back at. It just didn't shock me so much at all, even with the money concerns that have started to arise. And then Tielitz, I mean, that's cool. It's great for his fans, but we'll see. I mean, like you said, I don't have super high hopes, but it would be really cool to see him do well.
Yeah, I mean, any chance he can get back into cars is definitely a good thing for his career future. Pato, I actually was pretty surprised. I just have this kind of bad feeling after Detroit that we might not see him this year. And this whole Red Bull story seems to be changing all the time. So, you know, who knows? But, let's think about Road America here. Do we have any predictions on who you think is going to do well and who might struggle this weekend?
Oh, gosh. Always the tough questions. Let's see. I mean, I'm not going to take the low-hanging fruit for who's going to struggle because that would just be mean. I'm going to say that Ryan Hunter-Reay is going to struggle. I don't know why. Gut feeling. I'm just going to pick him out of the blue. And then to do well, I am going to say Graham Rahal. I think he's going to have another one where he quietly just shows up and has a really good race.
I think you're picking Rahal just because his car is gorgeous this weekend. Is that a little bit to do with it too or no?
Actually, no, I kind of forgot about it. But yes, it is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a 10 out of 10, whoever designed that. Brilliant job. The driver who I think is going to struggle wasn't too kind with him in our grades that we just did. So I'm going to go with Ed Jones. I don't know if he's going to get these road courses figured out, you know, other than Grand Prix again. He's kind of struggled all year. Who's going to do well? I don't know. Is it lame if I pick Newgarden? Because the guy is, I think Newgarden's hidden talent, which is not super hidden, but the guy is such a beast on the natural terrain road courses. And obviously he dominated Road America last year, always as well, like Mid-Ohio and Barber. So I think he's probably the force to be reckoned with on these types of tracks. So I'm going to stick with Newgarden as my winner for the weekend.
I have this weird gut feeling that the Ganassi cars are not going to have outstanding races this weekend. I don't know why. It's just been kind of sitting in my head since I was looking at the sheet here. So I'm going to go with the Ganassi guys. In terms of who's going to do well, despite him not having a good track record here in his first three attempts, I think Rossi, having a couple weeks off to regroup, doesn't want to finish second again. So I think he's going to pull through. I don't know if he'll pull out a win, but I think he's really going to be gunning for it and have his best result in his career at Road America here. So we will wrap it up with one final question I'm going to put you guys on the spot with. And I actually haven't thought of my answer yet on this one. So I'm going to try not to agree with you. But is there any driver, in the top 10 or not, that needs to have an outstanding Road America race this year, really needs to get their, second half of the year off with a strong result?
Yeah, we kind of been talking about this issue and that, us three and other rational people of the world think that Felix Rosenqvist has had a really good season. However, for some reason, Chip Ganassi doesn't think so and has already been in the talks about if he should be going after Rossi and whatnot in the offseason and really putting that pressure on Rosenqvist. So I think Rosenqvist is in need for some really good results at the second half of the season, but a place like Road America, I feel like just fits his style, especially since he was pretty good at COTA. So I think that if anybody needs to have a good weekend, I would pick Rosenqvist.
I'm going to go kind of a little out of left field here. I'm going to say Herta, and not because, like we talked about earlier, it's not necessarily been his fault, the majority of his issues this year. But I think that he really needs to have a good Road America, mostly for himself and his confidence. I think that would definitely start the second half of the season in the right way for him.
I'm going to. Thankfully, I'm not going to agree with either of you guys on this one. I'm going to go with James Hinchcliffe. I forget who had him in our driver review, but I think we need to see him finish top five and get that kind of get the season back on track, at least so he can have a better standing than 11th right now, or I guess he's technically tied for 10th. But Hinch really needs to have a strong result this weekend and get his season back on track. So with that, do we have any last remarks on driver ratings or Road America? I have one or two announcements to wrap it up with.
Well, can we just talk about how good the IndyCar season's been so far? I mean, do you guys have like a favorite moment that stands out to you from the first, what are we at, like 9 races?
Wow, good question to put us on the spot. I'm going to say Colton Herta winning at COTA early in the season. You know, he had a strong race car and got a little lucky there with the win, but you know, that was definitely one of the highlights of the season for me, was seeing, you know, the youngest IndyCar winner in history so early in the season.
Well, that was cool, and I did enjoy that, but I'm going to go with slightly more personal favorite thing, and that's going to be Alexander Rossi's radio for the last 100 laps of the Indy 500. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly can't say those words on here at all, but it was so good to hear him so fired up and so excited about that race. So that was my favorite.
Yeah, just kind of a all-encompassing one was just kind of watching Rossi at Indianapolis as a whole and watching him bounce back and shaking his fist down the whole front straightaway at Serbia is just an iconic moment that'll, honestly, that'll be one that's kind of etched in people's brains for a while, is him shaking his fist down the whole straightaway. But yeah, just watching him at Indianapolis has always been a treat. It's done really well there, and this year was no exception. He was just brilliant there again.
I don't know if either of you guys listened to Off Track with Hinch and Rossi, but the last episode was just Rossi, and he mentioned that he ran into Servia at brunch, I think before Texas, and you can tell they are in no rush to make up with each other, and I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. And it's kind of interesting little feud there. Hopefully we see Servia in a car maybe one more time this year, at least spice things up a little bit, have an interesting young guy versus old guy rivalry. But wrapping it up, Jim Aiello and I will be doing a live show on Friday at during the autograph session. You might be listening to this after the live show, so hopefully if you're listening to this early when it comes out on Friday morning and you're at the track, come out and listen, or come out and watch us talk and make fools of ourselves, and it'll be a good time. And then Mike Knapp and I will be at the track all weekend, so make sure you come say hello. And this race is on NBC this week, so it's the big NBC. So with that, I think, Jess, we can sign off the first half of the IndyCar season.
And guys, keep your lug nuts tight.
This is the RaceCast weather forecast for the NTT IndyCar Series Rev Group Grand Prix at Road America. We'll start off the day on Friday with mostly clear skies, but clouds will be on the increase throughout the day. We'll stay dry through most of the day with only a very small risk of a stray shower after 6 p.m. Afternoon highs will be close to 69 degrees. Winds will be out of the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday will have more clouds than sun throughout the day, along with a chance of a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. Rain chances will start off around 50% in the morning, but will actually drop to around 40% for the afternoon and early evening hours. Afternoon highs will be around 67 degrees. Winds will be out of the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour, with a brief gust or two reaching 25 miles per hour. Sunday will be a mainly cloudy day with a chance of a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. We'll say around a 40% chance of rain throughout the day, but the latest model data shows that the activity may hold off until the mid to late afternoon hours. The afternoon high will be around 74 degrees. This has been your RaceCast weather forecast for this week. You can find our updates on Twitter and Facebook at RaceCastWX, on Instagram at RaceCastWeather, or find us on the web at RaceCastWeather.com. Thank you so much. Have a great week.